Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are all well on your Easter Saturday, if that's a thing, or is it just Saturday? But it's the Saturday in between Good Friday and Easter Monday, the day before Easter Sunday. So, yeah, we're doing a very brief look back at yesterday's 1-1 draw at Exeter City. We don't normally do pods in between the two games, but I was feeling generous, and so was Ben, so we thought we'd just do a little half an hour look back. Yeah, joining me to look back at that game yesterday, Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Hello, mate. Good you said Easter Saturday. I keep thinking it's Sunday. It's crazy, isn't it? It's a weird weekend, but yeah, I'm good, mate. This is nice and cozy, isn't it?
Yeah, just the two of us. No, exactly, yeah. I think they're holding us back, if anything. So on today's mini-pod, then, we'll look back at the game. We'll hear the goals. We've got loads of audio as well for you. We're going to hear from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones. And we're going to hear from Michael Hector, who I'm fairly confident that was the first time I spoke to him yesterday. Made his first start since January. His first start under Nathan Jones yesterday. So I had a good chat with him yesterday. Morning to everyone who's joining us in the chat as well. Keith's in there. Says another point nearer safety. All hell let loose, says at least we won't have those pesky park runners today. Ben does a park run sometimes. I don't know if he still does it. Morning to Norm, morning to Sam, morning to Michael as well. Said it's an okay Saturday, wouldn't call it a good Saturday. Well, it's Saturday, isn't it? And we don't have to do anything really today. It's a day off, which is lovely. Ben, just very quickly then, before we hear the goals from yesterday, just give us your overall thoughts on the 1-1 draw. We had a chance to win it right at the end with Alfie, but you know... yeah, let us know what you made of it.
Yeah, it's quite a funny game to review, really, isn't it? I mean, we were lucky to get a point because we did equalise in the 86th minute, but then we could have won it at the end. And if we did, overall, you could have said with the chances both teams had, we had the better chance in the game. But overall in the game, Exeter were the better side, looked very well organised, and stopped us creating... more chance than we did, and did make some last minute diving blocks across to stop us scoring another chance. Overall, it was similar to the Fleetwood and the Carlisle games, really. We weren't very good. We resorted to long balls forward, which then we lost our momentum a lot because a lot of those long ball forwards skewed off our play. Defensively, every time they attacked, they looked like they might score. We looked all over the shop defensively. They had a few good players that ran the show. But yeah, overall, it's similar, isn't it, to the last few games where we're looking at performances now more than the scoreline. And the performances, you're looking at, everyone's thinking, yeah, we're safe now. We're looking towards next season. Who's going to stand up and show they're good enough to be part of a side that's going places next season? And it didn't look that way yesterday, did we? We started really slow. They were all over us in those first few minutes, scored. And yeah, we did come back a little bit in that first half and created good chances. But overall, we just weren't together as a team, were we? We just weren't consistently playing well to look like we were going to come back in the game.
Right, well, let's have a listen back to the goals then from Charlton TV. As always, your commentators were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Mine is Niskanen, and across to the right-hand side now, Carroll. Brings it forward, Carroll, on the right. Further right, and swings the ball into the box. It's a header coming in, and a goal from Purrington. The ex-Charlton player, Curse, comes back to haunt us here at St James's Park, and the home side have the lead.
Well, for their start, they deserve it. It's a brilliant ball in. Perrington against his former club. It's like a former club curse. It certainly does come back to haunt Charlton, but Yannick struggled to push out.
Back to Coventry. Touch ball into Ladapo. Ladapo just had it taken off his toes, but rescued by Eden. Back to Backinson. Left this ball into the penalty area, asking Anite to check it. He does, Anite! And his header comes off of Diabate, and it's in the back of the net for the equaliser.
Anike, the substitute, works again for Charlton in a game where he's not had a lot of moments and opportunities to really dominate against Sweeney. All he took was just a lofted cross into the penalty area, and he gets across his man. I think his header may have been going wide. I'd like to see it again. And it comes off Diabate, but Packington just puts it in area for Anike to attack. It's going wide.
Oh, well,
and he'll go down as an own goal for... off of Diabate, Charlton won't care.
There we go. That's the highlights from Charlton TV yesterday, Ben. Yeah, I mean, clearly an own goal from Diabate there. Well done to Chooks for getting something on the header, I guess. I mean, it didn't start well. I remember this this fixture last season. Exeter came absolutely flying out the traps first 10 minutes. That time they didn't score. This time they did. And everyone was very disappointed, unless you just happened to be about 90 quid better off for it, Ben.
Yeah, I sent that round, didn't I? Just for kickoff, I was like, oh yeah, Ben Burrington plays for Exeter. And I just thought, he had a little knack, didn't he, of just getting exactly where he was yesterday. Far post, comes in out of nowhere and scores the goal. So yeah, there was one person... one Charlton fan celebrating yesterday when Exeter scored. And yeah, fortunately that was me, because I did have, I think, was it £3 on him? So I won about 80 odd quid, was it? £78, I think it was. So yeah, sorry everyone else that's probably like, what are you celebrating? Well, I wasn't celebrating. I went, oh no. Oh wait, it's Ben Burrington. So yeah, but yeah, I mean, it was coming, wasn't it? In that first 5 minutes, I had three corners. And we couldn't get out of our half, bombarding us. And yeah, when you look at it, I mean, how many men did we have around him? It was a great cross by the guy. But how many men did we have around him? You look at Watson, Hector, Small had a guy behind him. And he's just crept in there. And I think it did come off Watson's head, didn't it, as well? That's Joe tried to poo-poo my bet and went, oh, no, it's an own goal. You don't win anything. But yeah, so... hard for to blame Isted or at all for anything like that, but yeah, really poor goal to concede. And yeah, as you said, they came out the traps raring to go, and we didn't, mate. Yeah, it took us a while to get going.
Yeah, I mean, Gary said I don't think our midfield was up to much yesterday. Sam said I felt we were quite slow getting into the game, but after 25-30 minutes we started to control the game with really attacking their back line. It shows what the best part of the game though was Chuck's returning. Norman says, why do you think this season we're over hitting so many long balls and crosses? That, along with the poor defending, mainly in Appleton's reign, has been most noticeable. I mean, that we have at times been quite direct, even under Nathan. I think that's fair. And you know, quality on the ball at times yesterday is not quite where we wanted it to be. I did think at half time, like, other than the first 10 minutes, we have had the majority of the chances here. So I wasn't massively concerned at halftime. But then it felt like it took a bit longer in the second half to really get going. We should talk about that moment of controversy right on the stroke of halftime, Ben, when Dobson chipped it over Sinisalo, and our old nemesis Ben Purrington was there to clear it off the line. Was it off the line? I mean, there's no fully conclusive footage, but a lot of the photos, which obviously aren't quite on the goal line, so it doesn't, I mean, it makes it look like it was extremely close to being a goal.
Yeah, I saw a photo, I think All Hell Let Loose put it up on Twitter, and yeah, it did look over the line from there. I mean, the ref's relying on the lino there, isn't he? I mean, he's coming for a crowd of players. But yeah, I mean, that chance again, going back to Norm's comment, that chance came from a chance where Alfie May drops deep and plays a lovely little ball over to Dobbo, and we nearly score from. And that's where our chances were coming from. We had another chance where Small galloped down the left-hand side, but then that was a beautiful ball where Mayer dropped deep to create the chance. Because other than that, we weren't really creating any chances. And that's why we are resorting to long balls, because we've got two strikers who are a nuisance up front. They're just going to harry and press you and force you into a mistake. So we're thinking, knock it long. and try and get a knockdown or something from that where our strikers are hassling them. That seems to be our way of play, unfortunately, since Corey's left, seems to be what we're doing. And May gets frustrated with that, drops deep, tries to create something. And poor old Dobbo, he was really, even at half time, his arms were just raised in an upward position, going, come on, that must have gone in. And it did look close. I think if you do look at it again from another angle, it looks like when the clearance comes, it looks like it comes from like behind the bar, but obviously it has to be the whole ball over the line, doesn't it? So frustrating, because that would have been a perfect time to score, because I was just on the whistle, wasn't it, as well? But yeah, we definitely had the better chance in that first half. So that's what gave, like yourself, gave me hope that second half, with the likes of Chucks coming on, that we could get back in the game.
Yeah, not in my interview, but in Nathan's interview with Terry, I think he called for goal line technology again, which would have solved that question. Keith says we didn't have that killer ball when we were in and around the box, and it certainly seemed to not have it much of it in the second half. Like say when Anike and Ladapo were thrown into the mix at various stages, Ladapo had a couple of chances, didn't he, that I think he'll be disappointed with. The first one, I can't work out if it was just an unbelievable challenge by Piers Sweeney, but in the end, the referee gave a goal kick, so I'm not sure if it ricocheted back off Ladapo, but he took his time to get the shot off there. He had one where it was played over the top, and from an angle, he didn't catch the volley very well. So yeah, he'll be disappointed with the way he sort of got involved yesterday. Obviously the goal itself then, so it was an arrow ball into the box, and Ike does make a difference. He is such a presence up there, and even when he's not having his best game, and like I say, I think the header, I assume he was trying to knock it across to someone, because it wasn't going anywhere near the goal. It was going out for a throw. And we got that little bit of luck from Diabate, which I think we deserved. I think it would have been a bit of a travesty if we didn't come away with something from that game.
Yeah, definitely. As I said at the start, I think it's if you were to look back and go, oh, yeah, we deserve something, people would go, yeah, but you only equalised in the 86th minute. But as we will go on to say, we obviously had that chance to win the game, and chances before, the off-the-line chance, their vital last-minute blocks. I mean, that one you just said when the Dapo was shooting, I think we had another one as well. That Sweeney at the back was diving in front of everything. Then when we had six shots on target to their two, and I think that, yeah, we really, you think Ice did, what did he have to do in that second half? He had one save where I think it was a long ball crossed in, come down to him through a crowd of players, half volley, and he saved it well. But other than that, it was us going for it. And yeah, when Aniki's up there, when Ladapo's up there, giving help to May or Kanu, it just provides more options for us, but also provides a nuisance for the defenders. And how many times we said it with Chucks, because of his presence, it just causes them problems. And it was good to see Backinson come on yesterday. I know he comes in for criticism, but I think he comes in for criticism because he's doing something else that those other three in midfield aren't doing. He's trying to do that daring pass of trying to cut their defence open and try and break free. And Anderson, Coventry and Dobson weren't doing that yesterday for us. Mm. So, yeah, he obviously knocked it in for Aniki, didn't he? Aniki looks like he does head it to Ladapo across goal to nod in. And, fortunately, it hit Diabate on the head and went in. And limbs in the away end, because after a long old train journey there and back, at least we had something to celebrate, eh?
Yeah. You mentioned Eisted there. I actually met Harry Eisted's real dad yesterday, Dicky Eisted. So not the fake one that we have on the pod, Martin Eisted, but I met his real dad yesterday, which was nice. And just finally, we've got to talk about that chance for Alfie. Through 1-1, I think I could tell as soon as he's taken it around the keeper, he's pushed himself a little bit too wide. But then he caught up with the ball, and you think, right, he might just arrow this in, and that would have been lovely. That would have been a nice reward for, like, say, everyone who had that horrible train journey down to Devon yesterday. And you know, again, it would have been a bit of a steal maybe, but with the amount of chances we had, I wouldn't have felt too bad about it. And look, I ain't going to sit here and criticise Alfie May, because he's a top scorer in League One. They miss chances sometimes. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and like berate him for missing that chance. He'll know he should have scored that chance. We all know he should have. You look back in hindsight, he should have just slotted it past the keeper straight away. But he might have felt that the keeper's been a presence all day, so it'd be easier to try and take it round him than shoot straight at him. I mean, it's funny, I watched the Leicester game was on just before, and Jamie Vardy had about four or five of them. and missed all of them. It was quite surprising in their game on the telly 4R. So, as you said, strikers do miss those chances. It is frustrating because he is the top goal scorer in the league. And when that ball rolled through in the last seconds, you think, here we go. It's going to top off the day now, win the game. And obviously did the wrong thing of trying to take it around him. But I thought he did well to hit the post because the angle he made for himself was quite difficult, wasn't it? But yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, for Alfie, it's frustrating for him at the moment. I think if you were to look at the 90 minutes, he had to drop deep to create chances for others, whereas he wants to be on the end of those chances. So he didn't have many chances yesterday. So yeah, that's one kind of excuse you could make for him, that he's not getting the chances regularly during the game. Some strikers need five or six to score a goal. But look, he should have scored the chance. He'll know that, and hopefully he'll rectify that come Stevenage game on Monday.
Excellent. Right, let's hear from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones. I spoke to him after the game down at Exeter City.
Another game unbeaten, one all draw here at Exeter. What did you make of it?
Just disappointed, really, because I thought if we'd started the game better, you know, and just been a bit more front-footed, cleared our lines a little bit, and just taken the game to them in the first 10 minutes, and we wouldn't have lost the game. Like, we wouldn't have, because we were good first half, and we created enough chances, created enough opportunities, moved the ball well enough. But you win a lap behind, so it puts a different spin on stuff. Second half we came out, we really went after it first sort of 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then the game evened out a little bit, and it wasn't until I made the changes did we look like we were really going to score, and then we did. I thought we looked like we were going to score all afternoon without doing that, and then we'd finally get the goal, and then we, you know, continued to go for it, because I didn't then sit back and say, okay, we're happy with that. We went for the win again, and should have won it at the end. So a little bit disappointed, but as you said, positives are another game unbeaten, another point, and we'll keep going.
Were you surprised by the sluggish nature of the start? Do you think the international break has played a part in that?
Yeah, massively, because I didn't anticipate that. I wanted us to be front-footed, come out of the blocks, but we weren't. We were a mile of what we've been in recent weeks and stuff, and that is because you train with nothing. You know, you take your mind off it, whereas we've been used to playing games, so now we've got three home games where I really want us to be front-footed.
Yeah, and you did start to create those chances in the first half. Was the message at half-time just more of the same, really?
Yeah, really, and just be a bit more clinical, a little bit more from, you know, because I didn't feel we dominated the game enough. I wanted us to. I mean, I know what type of team these are, but, you know, we were looking forward to coming here in terms of that they tried to make it difficult, but we had more possession than them, more shots on target, so, and that's for an away side, so, you know, I'm reasonably happy, but the overriding feeling is I'm disappointed because I feel when we come here, I want us to win this game.
Chuksunike proving his worth again. It shows why you had to be careful, because you don't want to risk him being out for longer.
Well, absolutely, you've got to. You know, there's no point trying to do certain things you can't do, because, you know, then he'll get injured and then you won't see him. So that's something we don't want to do. So, no, look, we know we had to manage him. We have managed him well. And as I said, he repaid us today.
What's Alfie had to say after that chance? You don't see him miss too many like that?
No, look, he's apologised and stuff, but it's part and parcel. It would be lovely if you scored, because we had gone away from here 3 points, and, you know, and in a real good position with 3 home games to go. Like, we're looking forward to these home games coming up, and we've just got to make sure that we pick up good points now.
You're nearly at that stage of the season, I guess, where you're looking ahead to next year, and performances are more important than points. But
I want us to get points. I want us to keep getting points. It's not about performances, it's about getting quality, being quality in what we do. And as I said, we weren't at it today. If we'd been at it today, we'd have won the game. Because I felt I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone, but I felt if we were at it today, we'd have won the game, but we weren't.
There's no Reg in the side today. Someone mentioned he might be ill.
He was ill yesterday. He was ill just before we travelled, so we left him out. So we left him at home, so can't have, you know, anyone who's ill in the camp can spread. So we just, as soon as he felt a little bit, we left him.
And no Kazenga, and I know he travelled, but he wasn't involved in the squad. Has he just won too many today?
Yeah, it was just, look, won too many. Just, I think we've got 4 games now coming up. I told him 4 games in 10 days. We're going to use the squad. Kazenga will be back in. So it's just one of those things. We're going to need all the positivity we can going into next game. And as I said, he'll be used.
Yeah, Stevenage Monday will be a real test against the side who's had the sort of season that Charlton hope to have next year.
Well, look, we don't look at Stevenage, we don't look at anyone. We want to be us next year, and we want to have our own goals. But it's going to be a tough game. It's always a tough game against Stevenage. Always a tough game against Steve Evans' team. So we're looking forward to it. But, you know, at least we're home, and not I've got another 4 or 5 hour journey.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent, local installers with
free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is our Easter Saturday, if that is such a thing, little special show where we're looking back at the 1-1 draw with Exeter City. We just heard there from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones, spoke to him after yesterday's game. A couple of comments come in. Andrew says, harsh to criticise Alfie for that one. I'm more concerned about the lack of clean sheets. It's one clean sheet in 28 games. I tweeted about it yesterday. I'm very concerned about that still. We're going to hear from a defender shortly. We'll speak a bit about Hecker after as well. There was a question from Sam, says, do you know about the Wickham's fitness, Louis? I sort of mentioned it on Thursday, and we've mentioned it throughout the course of since Nathan's come in. Nathan doesn't tell us about players' fitnesses. That's just not what he does. It's not how he likes to manage things. So I think he was asked during the week and gave, well, they're just closer than they were. So it's almost pointless asking about players who've been out already. We'll see. If he's not there Monday, maybe I'll ask again, but you'll probably get the same answer. Unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. All hell let loose says, why did Alfie apologise? He has nothing to apologise for, which I agree with. Norman says many of us would have put a decent chunk of money on Alfie scoring, but he is human after all. So unlucky. Keith says, give him that chance again, I'm sure he'd put it away. All hell let loose says it's a bit early for Twiglets, Ben, but you don't know Ben if you don't. He Twiglets 24/7. It reminds me of the time we were going to an away game years ago with our friend Pauline on the train, probably about 8:30 in the morning, and Ben tried to hand around some Maltesers. And she's like, oh, it's way too early for Maltesers. Whilst drinking a can of cider, it's like, make your mind up. Are we abiding by the laws of time or not? Right, let's hear from a defender yesterday. So I'm fairly confident this is the first time I've spoken to Michael Hector. So he played his first 90 minutes for us since the game against Port Vale at the start of January. Yesterday, obviously, he had that long-term injury. He came back at the start of the month, come off the bench a few times, but he was finally given a start by Nathan Jones yesterday. Let's hear what Michael Hector has to say.
1-1 draw here at Exeter. How did you see the game today?
Yeah, no, I think it's obviously we're disappointed not to win the game, because I feel second half we was only side that looking to try and win it. But I think with the first half performance that we had, it's a fair result. I feel it wasn't at it. In the first half, it was caught in between two, trying to play and trying to be direct. And I think that's what cost us in the first half. But second half, you can see our game plan and how we wanted to be on the front foot, more direct, put balls into the box. And I think there was only one team that was going to try and win it in the second half.
A tinge of disappointment. He couldn't quite at the end there without that chance for Alfie. You'd normally expect him to put them in.
Yeah, you know, he's scored a lot of goals for us this season. We know he's a quality striker, but it's one of those things. It's late in the game. You can see he's tired in the way he's with his legs and stuff like that. But it's football. He scored a lot of goals, and we know that he'll put it away next time.
from a personal point of view, it's your first start since the Port Vale game in January. How good is it to be back out there for 90 minutes?
Yeah, no, it's great for me. That's what I want to play every week. That's why I signed it, to play. And yeah, it's frustrating not to get in the team, but the team's been doing well. I understand that. I've spoke to the manager. We've had chats and stuff, and it's all positive. And yeah, for me, I just want to get back out there and just play week in, week out.
You had your long-term injury as well. Was that sort of difficult timing for you, because you were just sort of hitting your stride at that point?
Yeah, no, that's part and parcel of football. For me, this is my first injury I've had. So, it's frustrating, but it is what it is. I just done my rehab. I got back, come back quicker than expected, which was a positive. And, I feel good. I feel strong. And, my performances are hopefully to the end of the season will be good.
How have you assessed the season as a whole for Charlton?
Yeah, no, we're not going to try and cover it up. It's been disappointing. You can tell a month ago it was in a relegation battle, and obviously we pulled away from it now, but for the size, the club of the size of Charlton, we should be around the top pushing promotion, and that's what everyone's goal was at the start of the season. And it's been disappointing, but it's part and parcel of football. The main thing is that we take it game by game to the end of the season and try and finish as high as possible.
From a personal point of view, remember sort of early in the season you had to sort of come back from a couple of disappointments, a couple of disappointing mistakes, but is that where you sort of have to use your experience to grow into the defender you were coming as the season grew on?
Yeah, no, for me, I've been in the game long enough to realise that as a centre-back, if you make a mistake, it's normally going to be a chance or a goal. And I understand it's how important, apart from a goalkeeper, the centre-back is probably the second most important. If you do make a mistake, it's going to cost the team. So, those things happen. Thankfully, it doesn't happen too often in my career, but it's happened quite back-to-back at the start of this season. So, I know for me, I'm the biggest critic of my performances, so I know the type of player I am and what I can do. But, it's just been a bit frustrating the start of the season, and I've kind of improved a bit better, but there's still a lot more for me to come.
Yeah, I mean, there's been obviously lots of chopping and changing and players coming in and out of the back. Do you think that hasn't really helped with the consistency of the back line this season?
Yeah, no, that was obviously, I think at the start of the season, that was a bit of that chopping and changing, trying to find, it's always the case when you're trying to find a win or trying to find the right formula. It's part and parcel. But I think since obviously this manager has come in, he's kept the same formation, the same group of players, same back five, six, if you count the keeper. And for me, that's what you need to try and build on and build, obviously, chemistry.
So congratulations, Rian Order, after your duties with Jamaica, finishing third in the CONCACAF. In the Nations League. What sort of experience was that?
Yeah, no, it was unbelievable, obviously, to play in that type of arena and to try and play against some quality players, some of the best in Europe. And, it was good to test yourself and to obviously perform well as a country. It was the first time a Caribbean side finished third, so it's important to kick on from that in my country. But the main thing is now with my club and to finish strong to end the season.
Obviously, you weren't on your own with your country. Took Croy with you over the last few goes. What can you tell us about him on international duty? Obviously, we see what he can do in a Charlton shirt.
Yeah, no, obviously, he's got a lot of trust from the manager, playing obviously ahead of a few players that are play obviously higher level. And the manager thinks very highly, and the country does. So, he's a great kid and he's been doing really well.
We've been asking this sort of question about what he can learn and obviously what you have throughout your career away from the club scene with international football that you can bring back into the club scene. What differences are there?
Well, there's obviously the quality of players. Obviously in the Jamaica, they play Premier League, Championship, so it's to learn off them type of midfielders is only going to benefit him. The quality that he has to bring into training is maybe a little bit higher than what happens at Charlton. So, he's obviously learning how to cope with that and how to deal with that, and that's he's taking that in his stride. And you can tell, the first day I see him, I said he's got quality, and he just needs to keep his head down and work hard, and that's what he's been doing, and that's why he's you can see in his performances are getting better each game.
It's finally we're at that stage of the year now where everyone's wondering about what's going to happen next year. So your contract's up at the end of the season. Have you had any discussions with Nathan about what might happen next?
No. We just want to finish strong as possible, and that's all I can do. We just going to focus on each game, and when that time comes, we will speak about it.
Would you like to say? Have you thought about it yet?
Yeah, no. I've said it earlier on the season. Like, this is obviously I signed here before because of obviously my family being from London, and there's nothing has changed so far.
There we go. That's Michael Hector speaking to myself after yesterday's game. Would you keep Michael Hector next season, Ben?
He wouldn't be the first defender that I kept. I mean, Jones, Reg, definitely ahead of him, in my opinion. But I mean, we haven't seen that much of him. As you said, that's the first start he's made in a while. Those two are ahead of him for me, especially Jones. I think Jones is a standout defender for us. Yeah, he just switches off in games, doesn't he? And he's obviously told to boot it long because obviously he did that nearly our way through the game yesterday. And yeah, it's disappointing when we resort to that because we should be playing a better style of football. But yeah, he wouldn't be in my main two defenders, no. So go on, Karim.
Sorry, I asked him obviously about the errors he made. Remember the ones against Port Vale and Blackpool at the start of the season. But as a defence overall, not even just the glaring errors, just the little organisation errors and things, we've not been good enough. So whether he can play a part in that, I'm really, we'll have to see what decision the manager makes. I did put it in the chat as well. Michael says, easy answer is always replace our team, but I can't remember when that last worked. Joseph said, we need to improve defence and get a decent goalkeeper, and we can afford to bring others along. So no from me in terms of keeping Hector. All hell let loose says no. Alex says, I think his range of passing can be a benefit, especially when we play with wingbacks, because, you know, Heck is probably our best defender in terms of passing the ball out, although even then he's had his moments. But on the ball overall, I think he's better than most. But still, is that enough, considering obviously the first thing is those clean sheets? And, you know, Keith says the defence is a big problem for me. Andrew says our owners have been generous so far, so no, let's buy a better defence. Alex points out that 28 games or one clean sheet in 28 games is dire, which is fair as well. Paul says he's just overslept, and no, I wouldn't keep Hector, talking of going to sleep. There we go. Right, 30 seconds, Ben, Stevenage, Easter Monday. Steve Evans is banned, so he'll be in the stands by the concession stall. Stevenage are winless in six. Three of those games have been 0-0. They drew 2-2 with Carlisle last weekend, which is never a good result. Not that we didn't obviously draw at Carlisle as well, to be fair. They were 0-0 with Bolton yesterday at home, which isn't the worst result, I guess. But yeah, how are we seeing this one?
We're seeing it as just putting another dent in their playoff hopes. Wouldn't that be lovely to see them not get promoted? I saw him on Sky the other day and he was going, everyone's scared of us, no one wants to play us. And since that, I think they haven't won a game since. So, look, we know they are a very direct side. We know that they make the most of every opportunity they get with long throws, corners, knocking it long. That read is a nuisance. So we know how they play. So I'd probably stick with the same formation, although I am one for thinking that Nathan should try and mix it up and for us to create more chances. I think the same formation against them would probably suit with their direct way of playing. But if Reg is feeling better now, I'd like to see him brought back in. I'd like to see Gillespie drop out, to be honest. I don't think he covers himself in glory. I'd like to see Caroy get a rest. I think he obviously got dragged off at halftime yesterday. And when we did have those extra options up front with May dropping in the 10, the Dapo up there, I think we created more and we looked more of a nuisance. So, I'd like to see us mix it up like that and see a bit more of other players because, they're getting enough. Maybe someone like Pan. I mean, played the 21 game the other day. I think we definitely miss someone like him who's a driving force in midfield. But, yeah, let's see how Nathan sees it.
Excellent. Right. Well, as all hell let loose has pointed out, the mini pod has slightly overrun. But, we have got to go because Ben has very kindly given up his time on this bank holiday weekend, and he has got places to be, which is why we started earlier. But yeah, massive thanks for everyone who's joined us for this little mini pod, just to tick you over until the game on Easter Monday. I've actually really enjoyed that. Maybe we should do half an hour every week. No, we've got way more to talk about still, haven't we? So we'll be back on Thursday then. So that'll be a look back at the Stevenage game and a look ahead to whatever comes the next weekend, which is a home game against someone. Barnsley, maybe? I can't remember. I'll look up the fixture list in due course. So yeah, massive thanks to everyone who joined us. As Andrew points out, Ben has got Twiglets to go and eat, so we are going to go now. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to us on your podcast apps as well, so you don't miss another show. Ben, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for your time this morning.
Cheers, everyone. Yeah, plenty of Twiglets to eat over this Easter weekend.
Lovely stuff. It's exactly the Easter tradition we all love, Twiglets. Right, thanks for listening to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institution of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. I'm Louis Mendes. We shall see you again on Thursday.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.